You're listening to Vulcan Has a Faith, the audio podcast about New Bern. Well, it's another great day in Birmingham, and we have another very special guest with us today. Somebody that gives me inspiration and has really helped me out with wanting to help different organizations and all. So we're lucky to have Rebecca Dobrinsky with us today. Rebecca is the Executive Director of the Birmingham Holocaust Education Center. She also writes and is a contributor for Weld Magazine. And she's the Operations Director for TEDx Birmingham. Fortunately, she let me volunteer to help out with that, which was a blast. And it was so well run and smooth. So how are you doing, Rebecca?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thank you for being here today.
I'm glad to be here.
So tell us a little about yourself. Where are you from? How long have you been in Birmingham?
Originally, I'm from Chicago, and we moved here when I was 13. I left when I was about 25 and spent about 8 years in Orlando, and then came back here in 2003. So this most recent stint in Birmingham has been about 13 years. It's a different Birmingham than the one I left in the 90s.
It's definitely changed a lot.
Absolutely. I couldn't wait to get out in the 90s.
So over the last 5 or 10 years, I mean, you've been back, so you've seen a lot of the changes that have happened here with the city, the inner city, and some of the revitalization in other areas.
Oh, it's been amazing to watch. I try not to be too much of a pessimist about it because I tend to really go more towards the optimistic side, but it's nice to see Birmingham keep moving forward.
Definitely, definitely. So, you know, talking about Birmingham and the things that we have to do now, tell us some of your favorite things, 3 things that you like to do, or what do you do if you have some downtime?
I volunteer. I volunteer a lot. I've been a serial volunteer for years, and I love working with the different organizations here in Birmingham. When I have a little downtime, I'll head down to Buck Mulligan's. Danny and the folks down there are pretty great, and it's kind of low-key, and you can just chill and have a cocktail, hanging out with friends. That can take us just about anywhere. So.
Yeah, definitely. You like to read, too, don't you?
I read a lot.
Yeah. I see your post a lot, and it's like you're on to another book. I don't know how fast you read, but you must read pretty fast.
I'm in the middle of about 4 books right now. So
4 books.
I can thank grad school for that. When you have a 36-book reading list for 4 months, you tend to read as much as you can and absorb as much as you can as quickly as you can.
Yeah. So what are 4 books? What are the 4 you're into right now?
I'm reading Flow by the guy whose name is so long, I can't ever remember how to pronounce it. I'm reading Presence by Amy Cuddy, and I picked that up because of her TED Talk, which was pretty amazing. There's a woman her name is Laura Bates, and she wrote this book, Everyday Sexism. It came out of a Twitter campaign, and it is amazing. It's the statistics on what women go through, just everyday simple things. And it talks about feminism and how do you deal with this and how do you educate others to help deal with this and hopefully eradicate some of the misogyny in our culture.
It's good stuff. Flow, is that F-L-O?
F-L-O-W.
F-L-O-W. Gotcha. Okay, so are you a Chris Cornell fan?
I am a Chris Cornell fan. I've been a Chris Cornell fan since the early days of Soundgarden and the grunge movement in the early 90s. I have my purple Louder Than Love vinyl at home, and I missed him by about a month. I was in Cincinnati not too long ago, and I drove past the theater, and it said, Chris Cornell, July 8th, I think it was, and I was going to be there June 8th, and I was like, oh, and I was like, oh, no, wrong month. So if he's listening, please come to Birmingham already.
We need to get him to listen to this. Get him in Birmingham. I'm a big fan of that genre, too, so that's good stuff. Okay, so you are the executive director of the Birmingham Holocaust Education Center.
Yes.
So what is your mission there?
Our mission is to keep the history and the lessons of the Holocaust alive so that future generations learn how to recognize the signs of hate and prejudice and discrimination, and also learn how to speak up about it.
How many survivors do we have here in Birmingham?
In Birmingham, we have 15 that we know of. What you have to understand about the Holocaust is not every Holocaust survivor will actually acknowledge to others that they survived the Holocaust. And even if they do, they may not necessarily tell their story. They may tell their story once. A number of the people we have in our exhibition, Darkness into Life, only told their stories the day they were interviewed for the exhibition, and they haven't told them again. However, we do have other survivors who go to community groups and schools. We're at the point where we're Skyping them in the classrooms so students can hear these stories firsthand, because it's a horrible fact of life that our Holocaust survivors are a finite resource. And they're, you know, we have one survivor, Reva, who calls herself the baby of the group. She's the baby of the group in her mid-80s. So we do our best to record everyone and to teach people how to tell the stories. We have a second generation and a Guardians of Remembrance program who tell other stories of survivors who have passed. So we do our best to make sure that these stories aren't lost to time.
It's so important. You know, there's so much hate and prejudice and different things going on in all cities these days that the more we can educate people on past histories and things that have happened, I think it's very important.
Well, the quotes become a bit cliched, but, you know, those who don't study history are bound to repeat it. And we're seeing, I'm not going to get too political, but I can't say that we're not seeing some of those things in this year's election coverage. I think that is about as neutral as I can put that.
We'll leave it here. We try to keep this as a positive as we can. So you mentioned Darkness into Light. It's so fascinating. Tell us about that.
Darkness into Life is the stories of 20 Holocaust survivors who chose to settle in Alabama after the war. They all have different stories. That's something that you learn when you start meeting Holocaust survivors, is no story is the same. Even we have two sisters who survived Auschwitz together, and even their experiences were not the same. They were similar, but not the same. So we tell these stories. It was conceived by two artists. One's a photographer, one works in oil, and she actually didn't do much realism before this project. She was more of a contemporary artist doing more interpretation. And they got together at a Yom HaShoah program. Yom HaShoah is the Holocaust Remembrance Holiday. I've had to learn a lot of Yiddish and Hebrew terms with this stuff. And they were two non-Jewish women who had actually married Jewish men, and they came to we were previously known as the Birmingham Holocaust Education Committee. And they came to the members of the committee and said, we want to do this. We want to help preserve these stories. So the artist, Mitzi Levin, she would interview all of the survivors, and she used her art to interpret the survivors' memories from before and during the war. You know, we have the luxury of pulling out old photographs or an old letter, and, you know, these survivors have nothing left. Everything was confiscated. Things were burned. Things went all over the place. They were trashed. And they don't have the luxury of having that background that we do. So she interpreted their memories from before and during the Holocaust through art. And then the photographer took modern day photos, both interpreting the stories and with how their lives have progressed over the years.
Gotcha. You guys have a pretty good library going down there too, don't you?
We do. We do. It's kind of my pride and joy right now. When I got there about a year and a half ago, we had about 800 volumes in our library. We had very short three-shelf bookshelves. And then last January in 2015, there was a gentleman in Washington, D.C. who found us online and said, I have my personal Holocaust collection. Can I give it to you? And we said, sure. And 57 boxes in the McCorkadale truck later, we processed 1,300 volumes into the library, which almost nearly tripled the size of our library We received some rare books. We have a couple of titles in our library that when you search on WorldCat, which is a catalog of about 70,000 libraries in the world, we're like the 13th library and the 16th library to have this in our collection.
Wow.
So we have some pretty amazing things. We just got another 400 volume donation from a retired professor from the University of Alabama. And our lovely benefactor from Washington, D.C. has another 10 books he is prepping to send us. So we went from 800 volumes to 2,100 volumes. Now we're at 2,500 and we could possibly hit 6,000. And I would say 98% of our library is donated volumes.
That is fantastic. Great work there. So tell us a little bit about TEDx. What is,
is
a lot of people
TEDx
don't even
Birmingham.
Know what TEDx, yeah.
I know, and it's, I'm actually going to read it because they've articulated it on our website better than I can articulate it. So TEDx Birmingham is an independent volunteer effort operating under license from TED through various initiatives, including a day-long main event, smaller salon events, and more. TEDx Birmingham strives to foster the diffusion of ideas in order to spark conversations and innovations that lead to a better Birmingham.
That is awesome. It's a very special program that's going on globally with the TED, but with each individual city like TEDx Birmingham.
Yes.
It's just great events. You're the operations director, is that correct?
I am.
So what's going to be going on for the future TEDx next year?
We have a salon coming up in September that will be almost an alumni event. The TEDx Birmingham Salon will be at the Alice Stevens Center in the Odessa Theater on September 13th. And then we have our main event will come up in the spring. We'll be making an announcement about that soon. It'll be a themed event like it always is. And then we are continuing to just go around the city and contribute to different organizations. We worked with Lean Labs, the K-12 Lean Labs, on an event not too long ago. We have education fellows. We have an amazing cadre of volunteers that I could not do my job without. And we are all volunteers as well. And then we're excited because our co-organizer, Sarah Parkak, won the TED Prize this year, and she's been incredibly busy with that amazing project as well. So
that is exciting. Sarah did a great job, and to win that award just gives so much recognition to Birmingham and TEDx
absolutely,
Birmingham.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And those that are not familiar with what TEDx is, you bring in speakers, right?
Yes, we bring in speakers, and we focus on the ideas that they have. So people come up and talk about different things. There's a lot of personal stories involved as well. We have had artists. We have had doctors. We have had movie buffs. We have had curators from museums. So we do our best to keep everyone local because we want to highlight the amazing ideas that are coming out of Birmingham.
A lot of great things in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So I just happened to run across seeing that you were on ARC Stories recently.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, ARC Stories approached the Holocaust Center about doing, they adopt a nonprofit for every program. And so the proceeds of the higher level reserved seating, part of it goes towards the nonprofit. So they had adopted us for the month of May. And originally they wanted a Holocaust survivor to speak, and everyone speaks there for about 10 minutes, not too different from our TEDx Birmingham talks. And what happened was I couldn't really get them a survivor because our survivors, when they talk for about 45 minutes. And every time a survivor tells their story, they relive their story. And I could not put a survivor through the reliving of their experience for a 10-minute talk. So we were just going to go with that and just talk. And then Taylor said, well, you can talk. And so I was hoping I was going to get up there and talk about the Holocaust Center. So I can talk about the Holocaust Center all day long. No, I had to talk about me, which I don't do very often. I talk about everybody else. So it was changing perspectives. that was our topic, and I had to talk about how perspectives have been changing in my life. And interesting, I kind of flipped it out around a little bit because, and it's interesting, even my family will tell you, I have been challenging and changing other people's perspectives just from my existence since I was little. Mom will say I started rebelling on my way out of the womb. And I started with a really, and it was a cute story that when I was about five, my mom has a newborn and me as a five-year-old and puts dinner on the table. And I look up at my mom and I say, I'm not eating this. I get up from the table and I go to my bedroom. And it's the mid-70s. So I have this, you know, day-glow flowered little suitcase. And I pack a bag and say, Grandma's going to make me whatever I want to eat. I'm going to Grandma's. So I looked at the audience and I said, what would you do? And my mom let me go. And my grandmother lived like a block and a half away. By the time I was out of my mother's line of sight, I was in my grandmother's line of sight. And apparently the first time I did this, it became a regular occurrence. I yelled at my grandmother for waiting outside because I was a big girl and I could do this on my own. I did not need any help. I knew how to get to my grandmother's house. And here I am. Now, make me something good for dinner. So it was an amazing experience. I've always been amazed at what our speakers do for TEDx Birmingham. Our Stories does it a little differently, but I have a little more empathy for our speakers now because I ended up having to prepare my 10-minute talk in 3 days, and I don't know how I did it. Wow. I truly do not know how I did it.
That's crazy. Well, you're such a modest person. I mean, I usually have to see what's going on with you from your Facebook or something, and it's just glimpses. It's not even anything self-promoting. So, again, I'm so thankful to have you here to share what kind of things are going on in Birmingham that you're involved with.
Oh, thank you.
It's very important things that you're doing with the hate and, the stories with police that we've got going on. So, the work that you're doing is very good.
Thank you.
So for our listeners, just to end, how can they find out more about the Holocaust Education Center and TEDx?
Well, both websites are pretty long, but they are both chock full of amazing information. The Holocaust Center is bhamholocausteducation.org, and TEDx Birmingham is tedxbirmingham.org.
Excellent. We'll post those links on our site too.
Wonderful. Just so everybody Wonderful. Thank you.
Have the address. Well, thanks again. It's been great to have you here.
Thank you.
Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Vulcan Has a Fave. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud.